Malo Olele, this is RNZ Pacific News. I'm Don Wiseman. The government of Vanuatu has signed the largest ever investment in community-based climate change adaptation in the Pacific region. The $32.6 million US dollar project will equip rural communities to become more resilient to climate change. It will also reach nearly half of Vanuatu's rural population across all six provinces. The project, supported primarily by a $26.2 million US dollar grant from the Green Climate Fund, but there's also a contribution from the Vanuatu government, the Save the Children organisation, and Australia. The funding will go towards projects equipping communities about climate change by providing knowledge, technical help, and equipment for agriculture and fisheries. A new French overseas minister has been appointed by President Emmanuel Macron in the second stage of his government reshuffle. Yael Braun-Pivet has replaced Sébastien Lecornu, who has been given the defence portfolio. Ms. Braun-Pivet has been the head of the National Assembly's Law Commission. Her main challenges include negotiations with New Caledonian leaders in the aftermath of last December's controversial independence referendum. While the anti-independence camp want the territory's reintegration into France after its victory at the ballot box, the rival side refuses to accept the referendum result. In the reshuffle's first step on Monday, Mr. Macron chose Elizabeth Borne as the new Prime Minister. The foreign affairs portfolio has been given to Catherine Colonna, who has been France's ambassador to Britain. Tonga has further eased the state of emergency put in place after COVID-19 was detected at the beginning of February. From today, all businesses except nightclubs will be allowed to open for their normal hours. Meanwhile, a midnight to 5 a.m. curfew remains in place and primary and elementary schools remain closed. Solomon Islands opposition leader Matthew Wallace is urging the Australian government to investigate a rental deal involving the Australian Federal Police and a government politician in Honiara. Mr. Wallace claims the AFP is renting a beachfront property owned by Solomon Islands government MP Nansum Tran in Tundai and West Honiara for 200,000 Solomon Islands dollars each month. According to him, the AFP's deal with Mr. Tran raises a lot of questions surrounding their independence and that it's likely to undermine the public's perception of the AFP's work in Honiara. The AFP's rejected Mr. Wale's claim as categorically false. In an email response to RNZ Pacific, an AFP spokesperson says it has leased a block of land in Honiara to support ongoing operational requirements. Samoa's Tupua Tamasesi Meoli Hospital at Motuatua now has a new oxygen generation plant with the commissioning of a 200-cylinder-per-day capacity unit on Thursday. The New Zealand-funded plant means the Ministry of Health will no longer be relying on American Samoa for the supply of oxygen. Speaking at the commissioning, the Minister of Health, Velasi Tofito Silisili, said Samoa had relied on supplies from American Samoa at the height of the measles epidemic and continuing with the coronavirus pandemic. The Samoa Ministry of Health's latest report has confirmed 331 new COVID-19 cases, 325 community cases and six at the border. This takes the total number of positive cases in Samoa to 12,382. There are seven patients currently in managed isolation. The ministry says one new COVID-related death has taken the total to 25. Pacifica Futures in New Zealand will receive $55 million over the next 4 years to support Pacifica families living in this country. The Whanaora Commissioning Agency, which helps Pacific families through health and social service organisations, has received the boost to its baseline as part of the 2022 budget. The CEO, Debbie Sorensen, says the funding acknowledges the work Pacifica Futures and its Pacific providers have been doing to help families during the pandemic.
We are extremely pleased to have secured additional funding over the next 4 years into our baseline, and that will help many more families access the support and design solutions to the challenges that they face.
Auckland-based Pacific Health and Social Service provider The Whānau has been helping thousands of Pacific families during the pandemic. Its chief executive, Dr. Taviti Funaki, says he expects more low-income households to be asking for help despite the budget announcements.
The need for food parcels will continue. The financial hardship the families will be facing. We're going into winter, and it's normally a bit harder. But we also see quite a lot of families that are not only being displaced from employment but have reduced hours there.
Government officials in New Zealand say they've not been advised of any other public hospitals that face having to take action soon to fix earthquake weaknesses. Hutt Hospital is having to shut its main block after engineers found it would be at high risk in a quake. The health infrastructure unit says some DHBs have seismic issues they're managing, but none like the Hutts. It says where there are issues, it may cause disruption to fix them. The unit, which recently transferred into the new Health New Zealand, says it's finalising a report about the seismic risks to public health facilities nationwide. Families of Ukrainian fighters who were in the Azovstal steel plant say they're worried about the fate of their relatives after Kyiv this week ordered its garrison at Mariupol to stand down. Natalia Zaritska, the wife of an Azovstal fighter who had surrendered, told a news conference in Istanbul she had not heard from her husband since a 10-minute message exchange 2 days ago. Ms. Zaritska also said she believes her husband is still alive and that one day he will return home. The group, comprising three wives and a mother of Azovstal fighters, have been in Turkey this week to ask the country to help secure the safety of the fighters at the steel plant. Uncertainty now swirls over the fate of the fighters, who Kyiv wants returned in a prisoner swap. Some senior Russian lawmakers have demanded that some of the soldiers be put on trial. Since ordering its garrison in Mariupol to stand down on Monday, Kyiv has given few details of what it describes as an effort to rescue fighters from Azovstal. The commander of Ukraine's Azov regiment said in a video that civilians and heavily wounded fighters had been evacuated. Russian Defence Minister Sergei Shoigu said that almost 2,000 Ukrainian soldiers in Azovstal had surrendered so far. Ukrainian officials have not confirmed that number, and Reuters has not been able to verify it. Last Saturday, Turkish President Tayyip Erdogan had said Turkey had proposed carrying out a sea evacuation of wounded fighters holed up in the steelworks. To sport now, and the Black Ferns Sevens have been dominant on day one of the World Sevens in France. The women won pool matches against Scotland and Spain while keeping their opposition scoreless. The All Blacks Sevens also won against Scotland 19-0 and narrowly defeated USA 19-17 this morning. Meanwhile, the Crusaders' 61-3 win over the Fijian and Drua strengthens their hold on second place in Super Rugby Pacific. Players won't receive ranking points at Wimbledon this year after the All England Lawn Tennis Club banned Russian and Belarusian competitors from the Grand Slam. The ATP's accused Wimbledon of undermining the integrity of its ranking system by discriminating against players from those nations. The move to strip ranking points will effectively reduce the world's most famous tennis tournament to an exhibition event. The Black Caps' preparations for the first test against England, starting in under 2 weeks' time, have been dealt a blow. Three members of the touring party, players Henry Nicholls and Blair Tickner, as well as bowling coach Shane Jorgensen, have tested positive for COVID-19. The positive results came on the first day of the warm-up tour match against Sussex. The trio have entered 5 days of hotel isolation, and coach Gary Stead says they'll travel separately from the rest of the squad.
Unfortunately, it's happened, and we're not sure how it's happened. The three guys that have caught it haven't been socialising together or anything like that, so we're not sure of where that source is.
The first day of the four-day game against Sussex was washed out. Weather permitting, day two starts at 10 o'clock tonight. Dame Lisa Carrington's paddled into two finals after day one of the Canoe Sprint World Champs Regatta in the Czech Republic. Carrington qualified for the final of the K4 500 metres with Alicia Hoskin, Tara Vaughan and Olivia Brett. She'll also race in the K1 500 metre final. And that's the latest news and sport from RNZ Pacific.